On this brand new episode of Gameware Express, now on Spotify.
Whoa.
My name is Adam Arender, and it is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. You're listening to episode number 292. Renee Martin, how does it feel to finally be on Spotify?
I'm so excited.
Neil Bonham, Spotify.
That's amazing. That's where I listen.
John Michael Carly, you can email the show, GameWareExpress@gmail.com.
I could, or I could also just listen on Spotify.
Oh.
They're different things, but you can do also
both. You can do both of those things now.
They're not mutually exclusive anymore. They used to be.
While we were previously on iTunes and Google Play and iHeart, now we're on Spotify. That's the number one question I always get when I'm like, hey, I have this podcast. And they're like, are you on Spotify? And it's like, not yet.
Will the AI DJ man put us into rotation?
I hope so. Let us know, GameWareExpress@gmail.com, if the AI man puts GameWare Express in your morning routine.
Yeah, I believe in him. I don't remember what his name is.
DJ something.
Khaled.
Yep.
I think it's a different guy.
Another one.
X. I think it's just X. It's always just X.
Yeah. Easier that way.
For this week's intro question, comes from Neil.
Heard of him?
What's your favorite fourth wall breaking moment in a game? Right? A game that like addresses you as the player or addresses something outside of the game world that's, you know, kind of.
So the best answer that I don't feel like I can actually even continue to elaborate on for like ruining purposes is Inscription.
Fuck yeah.
And all I can say is you have to play the game to understand more about like the whole game is about, you know, breaking everything.
I just recently picked that up.
Yeah.
I haven't played it.
Okay. Well, but you're going to enjoy it.
I still also need to play it. So when you decide to play it, you tell me no.
Okay.
Or you let me know.
Yeah, and I think they had the other game they did was at Pony Island or something like that. The second one's coming out soon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was like kind of announced at the Game Awards, right?
Yeah, the sequel's coming out soon. Yeah. And so, yeah, that also does similar things. But Inscription is also just a great fucking game. So
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, again, that's the answer. I wish I could say more, but beauty of the game is the more you play it, like more things reveal themselves through this mechanic.
Love a game with little secrets.
Yes.
And like some like little folklore and exactly. Kind of like unraveling the folklore of the game.
Yep.
And while participating in it. Yeah,
dark
it's great.
And mysterious.
It's so good.
Nice. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
For mine, I mean, it's probably an obvious answer going back to Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yeah.
I liked playing as Deadpool as one of my characters of choice in his level 3 super. He would hit the opponent with the super meter and the health bar.
Very good, by the way. That is a very funny and on-point thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, typical Deadpool shenanigans, you know, king of breaking fourth wall, it seems like, in a lot of these things. But
sure.
Yeah, I thought that was a fun and fun way to incorporate that in that fighting game.
Yeah, I mean, they do, you know, Deadpool, that's his thing, right? So they had a whole game, and he, you know, does that too. I will say, like, you know, and then he's in Midnight Suns. They have a lot of that.
Yeah.
I will say that, to your point, like, the Marvel vs. Capcom 3 move is still, like, the best way to use Deadpool in a video game or something like that. Have him attack with the health bar.
Do you think it'll happen in the third movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a cameo from Marvel vs. Capcom Deadpool. He'll be in there. Everyone's here.
Neil, Renee.
Well, welcome to the show, Adam.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. You just usually tell us welcome after we give our answers. So, like, you go.
No one
I was
welcomes
like, oh,
me.
This is the first time.
You're welcome. Welcome, Adam.
Previously,
we
weren't happy to have you here.
Lots of first happening on this episode. Now on Spotify.
Yeah, that's what did it, actually.
I finally did it, guys. I've earned my place.
So this is an answer I totally came up with on my own.
Yeah, lots of research.
But I give it to Doki Doki Literature Club, the end of Doki Doki Literature Club, where you go through this game and you think that it's just a cutesy, like, dating sim, right?
Sure.
And it's kind of seems like you have three options in this game of, like, these, like, girls to flirt with. But then... near the end, it kind of funnels you towards this one girl, while also the game seems like it's kind of glitching out constantly.
Hmm.
And then at the very end, I don't really want to give it away because it's so shocking mm-hmm. and just fucked up and weird. And you wouldn't think it from this game, Doki Doki Literature Club.
Yeah,
it's about
cutesy,
being in school.
Those are the
and
ones
you
that
join
get you.
The literature club, and there's these cute girls there, and you know you're the only boy, and oh, you know, as my voice goes up an octave. It's so cute.
That's how you know it's cute.
But yeah, how it just goes from cute to like fucked up, and like just this whiplash span of events, and the end has like one of the characters just like on the screen, like, you cannot quit this game. You have to focus on me for the rest of your life. You're going to be at your computer. I know that you're just sitting there on your computer, and we are together forever.
Whoa.
And it's like,
got swim
oh
fan.
My God. Oh my God. It's so creepy, but it's fucking cool. So yeah, man, that game, it's real good. It's a real good little experience. You know, it's
sounds
really
like
only
ride.
Like 3 hours.
That's
maybe.
Not bad.
Yeah,
check that.
It's,
oh, yeah.
It's quick. And good. Well, I wouldn't say painless, but it's certainly quick.
Welcome to the show, Renee.
Thanks for having me.
Neil.
So yeah, I guess, you know, this kind of spurred for me just thinking about, you know, Metal Gear Solid.
Oh yeah.
Especially like with the new one coming out soon. But that's kind of, you know, the one I always gravitate to. You know, it starts off with like the very, like, kind of your first objective in the game is to get a hold of Meryl mm-hmm. on the codec, you know, and you're looking for the frequency, and they tell you, like, it's on the back of the box. So I remember the first time playing, I was just, like, running around the level looking for this box.
What box?
Like, which fucking box? And then, sure enough, it's the actual case.
I love that.
So if you look on the back, so it good. Has the code. And, you know, the infamous boss of Psychomantis, where he can read your save data and talk to you about Castlevania and other Konami classics. And, you know, you have to actually...
can ruin your controller.
Well, yeah, yeah. You actually have to unplug the controller and plug it into player two so he won't read your mind.
Yeah.
Is Psychomantis like judging your taste in games? Like, you played a lot of RPGs, you loser. You must not have any friends. Final Fantasy VII.
How much Monster Rancher
hours?
Did you play?
Five blocks? Jesus. Oh, yeah.
Consulting you the entire boss fight.
Yeah. But one of... that I saw that was kind of funny was, it was a post on Reddit that kind of sparked the question, was it was from the Bard's Tale, I think, or a Bard's mm-hmm. Tale.
Yeah.
But it had on the disc, it said, like, look on the other side to see a horrifying image. And, like, so when you flip it over, it's just a reflection.
Gosh, he's so good.
Damn.
Punked by a Bard's Tale.
Does anyone know how, like, that Metal Gear stuff translated when they ported it to, like, the Vita or, like, all those digital versions where you don't have a controller port to unplug, or you don't have the back of the box to look on?
They did it, but it's, you know, you have to...
It's less fun.
Turn off the controller, like on the PS3, you just reassign it to
play
the other port.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. At least they try to make it work.
Yeah.
But
props for trying, I guess.
Yeah, you still have to like insert second disc and stuff on the PS3 versions, and it's just the menu now.
Yeah.
That's fair. Welcome to the show, Neil. Thank you for the question. If you want to ask us an intro question, you can by emailing us at gameworeexpress@gmail.com. Renee.
Hey.
What you been playing?
I beat a game.
Whoa. It's the first time for everything on this podcast. Lots of firsts.
I turned into a Muppet there also. I'm so sorry.
That was a real Kermit the Frog moment.
I did finally beat Unicorn Overlord. I know I've been talking like that. I'm going to be doing it for like 3 weeks.
Threatened it quite a lot.
But as I said last week, I just didn't want it to end. But I think it was just one evening last week, and I was like, you know what? It's time. It's time, buddy. It's time to put you down.
Prayed
and
for
I
a
was,
while.
And yeah, right on there. But yeah, and I also got the platinum trophy, which is quite
congrats.
Easy to do, honestly. Thank
don't,
you.
Hey,
thank
don't,
you.
Don't sell yourself short.
But yeah, that game, holy shit. Vanillaware does this really cool thing where they're really, even though the story is very basic, they're really good at like really building up to a very beautiful, perfect last moment.
Mm-hmm.
And you definitely feel that in this game, where you start off, you know, in the game, as I've described, with like the main character, the prince, like being taken away from a kingdom that's like under siege, and his mother like fighting to the death, basically making a last stand. Well, the last fight is in that same battleground, as you remember from the very beginning of the game, and just like making that, not the last stand, but like coming back and like liberating. And like, it's just, it's so fucking good. Simple story, but you know what? I was kind of thinking, like, do I want a story that's like super convoluted and like just a little intense for me to wrap my head around? Or do I just want something that's a nice, like, chill experience? Do I want to see like an obvious hero character like win the day? Like,
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So, and yeah, Unicorn Overlord gives you that. And it's good. Very satisfying, and it's so cute. The epilogue is really neat, because at the... as after the game ends and the credits roll, the credits are actually very long, because it tells you what happens to each character that you recruited between the, you know,
Animal House.
Animal House is here.
It does, but with, you know, like 70 characters. But at the end, you get to go back to that, just the castle area, and all your buddies are there, and they all have a little thing to say. They're like, congratulations on your coronation. And it's just really cute. They all have like little things to say to you and to each other. And I just love a game that does that, like the extra little tidbit. And really, while I was playing this game, I was like, there's no way that they can like flesh out all these characters, because there are just so many. But like at the end, and like getting to have all those little conversations, you really feel like they were able to really just give them such great characterization.
Care about the people like that.
It's really nice.
Sometimes it's difficult to do.
Yeah. Especially with just such a massive game and a massive roster. Yeah. So yeah. Wow. What a great experience.
What was your final time, like game time?
A little over 90 hours.
God.
But I like paused it and like took naps.
I do.
Like I paused it and like played with my cats. Yeah. So
fair.
I would say like maybe 70 hours probably.
That's still substantial. Is that
not a lot of sleep?
No.
Is that one of the longer Vanillaware games? Because I feel like a lot of their other games are not short experiences, but also not 70, 80 hours.
Yeah, I would say like maybe Odin Sphere is only like 30, like the original.
Yeah.
But then the remake was much longer, because there was just so much extra content. Grim Grimoire is only like 10 or 12 hours, maybe.
Well, how about 13 Sentinels?
13 Sentinels is fucking long.
Really?
Because it's like, it is
a bunch of different characters
novel.
Again, right? Oh,
yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
It's like... 13 Sentinels is like 75% like visual novel, and then like 25% of the like strategy, like real-time strategy gameplay.
And you said Unicorn Overlord's more gameplay.
Yeah, more gameplay over the like story stuff. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, the Q1 may be over, but like the RPGs didn't stop. So
none of them will stop.
So many.
It's like we all pick different ones to like get through, and Unicorn Overlord's like, I have it. I need to get to it.
Yeah. They've all been so good.
Yeah, that's
the problem. That's the problem.
Too many good games. Yeah. I can't just like not play them.
I really didn't know what to pick up after that either, but I was feeling like Eudon Chronicles is coming out soon. Mm-hmm. But I decided to just kind of like... whenever you have a collection like Steven and I have, which is just... it's like a museum, basically. I went to go put away some games, which is, I mean, honestly, we have to organize our games, which is actually kind of exciting. It's like going to GameWare and straightening the shelves. But I was putting away like a bunch of Game Boy Advance games, and I was thinking about how I said I'd never played a Mana game.
Yeah.
And I was in the Game Boy Advance games, and I saw Sword of Mana. So I was like, oh nice. Okay, I'm going to try this. So I did play my first Mana game also.
Ooh,
hell yeah.
Which, it's cool. And
you're enjoying it?
Yeah, it's fun. Like, there's not much to it.
No,
I mean, it's a Game Boy Advance game. It's fine. I didn't know that in these games that you have to, like, pick a class. Is that for all of them?
Not all of them, no.
Oh, okay, so that's, like, a cool
Secret
thing.
Secret of Mana does not have that.
Right.
Oh, wow.
but like Seiken Densetsu.
Secret
like,
of Mana has it kind of, because like you can swap out all the weapon types, but it a lot of the weapon types are also just more like Zelda items.
Exactly.
You know, like I have to use this whip to
get across,
get that
the
stump,
ledge.
And yeah.
Yeah, this game is giving me Legend of Zelda a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
it's just the placement of the camera and like just the sort of setting, this fantasy setting. But yeah, it's really fun. I like how like it reminds me of Baldur's Gate in this way, where you don't like have you don't level up immediately. You actually have to go into your menu and you select level up, and it's like, okay, what like class do you kind of want to level into? And you can select like different classes, so you know, like your fighter, your monk, your like magician or whatever, your thief. So I'm going thief with a little bit of magic in there too.
Nice.
Yeah,
is
it's
it
cute?
Is it turn-based? Like, what's the combat like in these games?
It's like an action RPG.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they all like that? Because I've also never played any Mana game.
Yes. They are all, like, very simple action games.
Gotcha.
You press the attack button. And then there's, I think, are they all like this? I know, you know, like, the Super Nintendo ones. It's, like, attack, and then there's, like, a cooldown meter to, like, you can attack before the meter's done recharging. You do less damage that way. Like,
that's pretty much just a secret.
Is that just a
mechanic? Yeah, which is why I don't like it as much.
Yeah,
I like the ones where you can just like attack.
Yeah, I think I don't think it's
which is like all the other ones
favors.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one doesn't have that.
Yeah,
it's like just fucking go for
it,
man.
It's like you can just attack.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But it's
you're
doing less damage because you're just swinging at like 10% instead of letting it build up to 100.
I didn't find that was an issue with this one, at least. It's like there's like a little three-hit combo.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then there's like
again.
A magic attack.
Yeah, Sword's a very simple game where like the depth of it comes from the leveling up the different classes.
Yes.
And then also having the different weapons, too.
Yeah.
And now I have a bow and arrow along with my little magic staff. So.
Cool.
They're all really cool because there was an interview with the director of Vision, because there's a lot of complaints that it's like, oh, it still looks like it's a game for children. And he's like, that's the point. He's like, I'm not going to do anything to change what the Mana series is. He's like, the changes and the AAA, he was like, that's for Final Fantasy, not for Mana.
Yeah.
I love that. Sticks to his
deal.
Yep.
Are you enjoying this on your analog pocket?
I sure am. My little pink Pepto-Bismol friend.
What a great piece of equipment.
So I can like have Xena on and I can be playing Sword of Mana and just chilling on the couch
Sounds
with my
great.
Cats.
Hell yeah.
It's great.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I want to play my analog pocket more. I need to find like a reason to. Same. I need to also start digging through my old GBA games to put them up and find something weird to put in, right?
Yeah. Like, one thing that helps is like being like, I want to like organize them. And then you'll like find one and be like, ooh, I really want to play this. So it'll like just trigger your ADD to like take the game away and just leave the organizing for later. Play the game.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I am once again here to tell the world how great Helldivers 2 is and how everyone should be playing that. And I've gotten a new recruit.
I've been
to help
recruited.
Me spread democracy.
Calls. Yes.
It's almost like you're the Uncle Sam.
I want you to help me spread democracy across the galaxy. So how was your first Helldivers experience this past week, John Michael?
It's fun. I get it. Like, you know, again, I Adam kind of Sherpa'd me into the world first, so he ran some little missions, and I was like, well, this is exactly what I thought it was going to be. First of all, to start with, our first one was we shot bugs. So, yeah, no surprises. You shoot the bugs, and they die.
Do they like explode into gore?
Actually, yes, they do.
As you get later on, the bigger bugs come out.
It essentially just seems like a more polished Earth Defense Force.
Well, so that's where we started, is we were shooting bugs, and then we had to make the airship come pick us up, because, like, good job killing the bugs. And so we did that. And then that was great. Went back to our, our mothership. And you have, again, to your point, I killed all these bugs. Now I have gore all over me. So I have guts and blood, because I didn't die, so... so I get to keep all that. And then later we jumped in with additional people. And we did, yes, we were killing bugs, but we had a shitload more to do. We were, what all did we do in this, Adam? I couldn't even tell you all the things. I was trying to not die most of the time.
So yeah, we did one of
yeah. So John Michael's on Ed.
I was level 3. Everyone else is like level 15. I'm like, I'm helping.
Yeah, we dropped down on just one of the, like, the more normal missions.
Why does it
say immune? Where we had to... I think we had to, like, either get some codes from a crashed shuttle, or we had to, like, launch an ICBM missile.
That's what we had to do. I remember that one we had to do.
And along the way, you can, like, find a radar tower that you can raise the radar tower, so now you can see everything on your map, like, where all the hidden treasures are, where all, like, the bug nests are. So we try to go, like, plug up some of the bug nests, because you get extra experience point for optionally doing that. But then, of course, like, shit randomly will just go wrong in the middle of
that,
like, the fight.
Very much happened.
Where,
so is it like you're also like protecting areas?
Not so much.
Not really, but like you have to get from like point A to point B, and all of a sudden like a bug breach will just happen. So then like a bunch of fucking bugs are just there.
Gotcha.
And then you have to deal with that when you're kind of spaced out because you think you're just going from point A to point B. Because when you get to like a landmark or a certain area, you expect enemies. So you're like, all right, I'm going to throw down my this, you throw down your this, but like...
But sometimes they pop up like it's the goddamn Cave of Wonders, and they just all come spilling out, and you have to like start blowing up like these mounds where they're just leaking bugs onto the map, and you're like, well, I wasn't ready for that.
Because then it gets crazy, because then it's like, oh god, we're all separated, so then people just start throwing grenades or throwing airstrikes, and then I get blown up. I'm like, who the fuck threw that? I'm dead, and they're like, sorry, so then they throw your respawn, but it's nowhere near your dead body where all your cool shit is. So then you're like, well, fuck. Now I don't have any good weaponry until... Oh, no, here comes another charger. I'm dead again. Motherfucker.
Yeah, we got hit by some big bugs. I know Adam's body got knocked into the ocean at one point, and we could not recover his body.
Couldn't get my stuff. That kind of sucked.
Yeah, this game is... It's definitely just rife for like these moments that you just didn't know were coming. And like you could be like... I understand the mechanics of the game, and then that doesn't matter at all because it's just going to be like, well, you just
all
weren't
breaks loose.
Yeah, it doesn't matter because you weren't prepared in that moment, because you never will be, it seems like.
I think it's those like unscripted moments that happen that kind of keep people talking about this, because it's like, oh man, when I did this weekend, this crazy thing happened. You're like, whoa, I haven't even seen that bug yet. That must be new. Or, you know.
So again, we're a full squad and you share your revives. Mm-hmm. So you have a limited amount. And so we're doing pretty good on this one mission. And then we get to the end. We're like, it's extraction time. Let's get out of here. And on our way out, I think we all died several times.
Yeah, because when you call on the extraction ship, it doesn't just appear. You have to like wait 2 minutes to get there. So, of course, you have to, like, hold that position and then clear the area so the ship can land.
Yeah, and we're like, cool. We've got this. We have the high ground. We've got the necessary pieces to hold the enemy at bay.
We did not.
Throwing down Gatling guns and lasers. And we're like, this is going great. The ship is almost here. And then the closer it got, the more of us started dying. Until there was literally... The ship was coming down. The bugs were encroaching. And there was one of us left to just dive onto the airship at the last second as the bugs swarmed. And we managed to complete the level that way. But all of us were dead.
And we lost all of our samples.
Jess. So, yeah, we lost all the samples. Damn. Which was like the leveling currency. I don't know. It's really fun to like have. I could see this being a good game playing by yourself just because, like, you know, it's a good little shooter. Mm-hmm. But, like, obviously this game is fantastic playing with others.
Because it's very much like Diablo, where it's like once you finally start getting comfortable, it's like, all right, crank it up to the next level of difficulty. Then you're like, oh god, this bug is fully armored and just runs you the fuck over. How am I supposed to deal with this? I don't know. So now it's almost like I have to redo my entire loadouts that's been working for so long because it's not working against these new enemies.
We didn't have enough explosives is what I was thinking about the entire time. We didn't have anything.
Flamethrower,
like,
too.
Yeah.
That goes through the armor and burns them up.
Yeah. So what is cool about the game is like I know I was lower level going into this, so I wasn't like maybe as like, you know, knowledgeable about what to be doing, but there's like not like it's not like I do like 4 damage and Adam's doing like 90 damage, so he's like more useful in battle. No, like I can do like an equivalent amount of damage and still be helpful.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter, like you're not handicapped because like you're a lower level, you're not like a hindrance necessarily.
Yeah, it's just more variety.
Yeah, they're usually good about like scaling.
Yes, so I appreciated that.
Plus, also, it's like, you know, I can call down my heavy weapon I use,
yes.
and then 4 minutes later I can call down another one. So, like, if I still have mine, John Michael can use
yep.
that a second one, so he can still use these weapons even if he hasn't unlocked them yet.
Yeah, if I don't have them for my character, Adam can be like, well, I've got one I can just get for you. Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm dead,
a guy.
It's yeah. like, all right, I picked up this your gun. I'm like, all right, it's fine. I can get myself another one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So it's a lot of fun. Very cool. I'm definitely excited to play some more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
What else have you been playing this week?
Yeah, so right before I picked up Helldivers, which, by the way, I got using PlayStation points, so,
nice. What are PlayStation points?
Right, great question. If you go into...
They're just that.
I found this on the PlayStation app.
Okay.
So I went into my PlayStation app. I'm kind of like going along so I can like kind of remember how to do this.
Follow along at home like I am.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because this is a pretty cool thing. If you use the PlayStation Store regularly like I do, you probably have points. So go into, you know what? I saw this by looking at my trophies at the time. Ooh. Okay. If you're on your like home page, like there should be like a number next to your name. You seeing that? You seeing yeah. that?
I think that's like the PlayStation Stars thing you have
yeah.
to sign up for.
Okay, well, that's what I have.
Oh, yeah. Shit, did I sign up for that?
Well, I don't know. But that's,
I don't know either.
They
there's
told me I had...
number?
There's like coins and...
No.
No.
It's like you play too much Genshin Impact.
Yeah. Neil's got
you. Oh, it says sign up to earn rewards.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm not doing?
Oh, yeah, you guys got to sign up to earn rewards.
It's free.
It's free to sign
oh,
up.
Oh, man.
And to earn rewards.
I could have been getting Helldivers for free.
I'm pretty sure we announced
well,
this on
I
the
think
podcast
it costs,
when
like,
this
10,000 coins, which is a lot to get.
For Helldivers?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, I had 15, so.
Damn. Like
they give you coins for everything. If you're in the app, if you do certain things, you can earn coins in the app, too.
Oh. Yeah, it's like playing certain games or like.
If you earn
trophies,
you get
points. If you're
buying
like one new game a month, like you're pretty much getting these coins, too.
Shit, so I've been missing out on so many coins.
Trophies give you coins.
They have a lot for Rebirth right now.
Yeah.
Like if I just like play Rebirth again.
Steven does this thing where he like starts a game for like a little it's something in the app. It's like a little trophy.
Yeah.
Not a trophy, but it's like a little thing.
And that is earning you coins as well.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh, Steven, how many coins do you have?
Those little collectibles you can
the
unlock.
Show.
Yeah. Since you aren't on it anymore.
Oh, it literally okay, I clicked like four buttons and now I'm signed up.
Yeah, there
I
you go. It takes 2 seconds.
Wow.
Like
oh, shit. Man, I feel like a sucker now. All right, here we go. In 5 years, I'm going to buy Helldivers 3.
Yeah, so I use my Helldivers.
I've got
2,010
coins.
See?
You can buy
well
1/5
on
of Helldivers.
I can get Destiny Silver.
You can buy Primo Gems with this currency.
No, don't tell me that, John Michael. Don't tell me.
Yeah, it's a true thing that you can do.
Oh,
because it's one of the things it suggests to me.
All these things.
It's like you should get back on this. Like, no, yeah. Stop it.
Oh, there they are.
Yeah. Anyway, I was playing around. I was in my looking at my trophies. I was admiring my platinum trophy that I got for Dragon's Dogma 2.
Whoa!
Yay!
Yes.
Platinum's all around.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I went ahead and wrapped this game up. You know, I've been talking about the last 2 weeks here. I really enjoyed this game. The ending is so goddamn weird. I loved it. I love a game that gets weird. But like,
are we talking like Saints Row weird?
No, we're
like...
talking about like kind of like Dark Souls weird.
Ooh,
in a
okay,
way.
Cool,
like,
cool.
Eldritchy in a way.
Nice.
Yeah, so it gets I want someone else to play this. If you played this, email the show so we can talk about how insane the ending is or what I think the ending is. I won't get too far into it because I don't want to ruin anything, but I'm pretty sure like the last boss is like the ocean.
written
yeah.
by M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, except it good. Yeah, there's a lot of weird lore that they don't really spell out. Again, I like games that don't like hold your hand, and this game
mm-hmm.
does not do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that, especially from a lore perspective. To just be like, oh, you figure it out. Or, like, we're not going to tell you what's happening. Like, if you want to
mm-hmm.
pay attention, fine. But like, that's on you, man.
Hmm.
Anyway, this game's great. A lot of fun. Combat's fun. Classes are all fantastic. So I recommend it if you're looking for a bit of adventure. I was still looking for a bit of adventure when I finished this, And Helldivers is fun and it's good, but it's not something that I can just sit down and like unwind with and go on an adventure. So, you know, I did a very unique thing that I don't think anyone else is doing right now. And I downloaded Fallout 4 again.
You're the only one, John Michael.
I think I'm a trendsetter. So I think you're going to see, actually, I think you're going to see a lot of people now that this podcast is going to come out. You're going to notice this. Keep looking for this. You're going to see a lot of people starting to download like Fallout 4 and New Vegas, maybe even 3. Yeah. But I think that's probably because they're going to hear
By golly, it's 76.
Well, we're on Spotify now, so it makes more sense people are
getting
really...
the word out there.
Right. Yes, exactly. So I hear that there's even going to be a show about this.
I think it got canceled.
I hear,
Yeah.
But yeah, honestly, that is part of it, is that like I was watching the Fallout show, my wife was out of town, and I'm like, I kind of want to be in this world, but like I'll get in trouble if I watch more episodes. So I can't watch more episodes, so I'll re-download Fallout 4. I knew they were kind of upgrading it soon. I think we'll talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, you know, I don't know how much to say about a game that's, I don't know, 10 years old now.
Almost.
It.
Man.
Yeah, this game is fun. I enjoyed this game when it came out. It is fun today. It looks like absolute shit, so it is fantastic that they're upgrading it. I hope the main upgrade they do is to upgrade it to not look like shit.
It's just going
to
look like HD shit.
It might. The faces are just disgusting to look at. Like,
and then we probably thought they looked so good in 2015.
I don't feel like I did then, actually. They've aged worse than that. I don't want to go to towns or populated areas.
Staying off the grid.
Yeah, but I do want to explore, you know, post-apocalyptic warehouses and apartment buildings and collect things.
You should just kill anyone you come across.
I mostly am. So here's the kicker, though. I've never done this before. I'm playing on survival mode.
Ooh, what's that mean?
So this is like super hard mode, if you will. Everything in your inventory counts. So ammunition counts as weight. Everything you pick up is weighted. Your inventory is much more limited to what you can carry. So this is, it's supposed to be replicating like
realism.
You are in a post-apocalyptic situation. Like you have to, normally in the game, you just run around and shoot people like, haha, I'm having fun. I'm picking up this teddy bear. Like, and this one in this mode, you have to like eat and drink water, which is, again, drinking water
radiated.
Yes, exactly. Most of the water is radiated, as we've learned from the show. So it's like finding these good sources of water to drink, or you're drinking the river water, which is irradiated, and the radiation lowers your health. You have to sleep. Like you get tired. There's no fast travel.
The mode for Neil.
Hey,
yeah. Honestly,
I guess that's what I should do.
It's a, like, it makes me like, again, like I've played Fallout 4 before, and I played a lot of Fallouts before. And again, it's fun, but like I wanted to do something different and like, you know, kind of like have a new experience. And this does feel like a brand new experience. It's, I don't know, it's challenging, but in a fun way.
I'm curious to hear your update on what the update brings.
You're
playing pre-update, and you'll be able to play post-update.
Yeah, I will bring news as to how much it looks like shit.
I think that next-gen update drops on Friday of this week. I believe it's 26th.
I think you're right, yeah. So, it's definitely this week, so we'll see.
Maybe the 25th. I don't know.
It's probably in our news section.
Neil.
Yes, sir.
Playing the most Neil game on the list. What you playing, buddy?
Yeah, you know, so unfortunately, I haven't had a lot of time to dive into Persona 3 this week.
Should hell dive into it.
But in the little time that I had on and off, I was playing some We Love Katamari.
Nice.
We love Katamari.
This is the re-roll version.
Okay.
For the PlayStation 5.
Okay.
But yeah, man, I kind of like forgot how just good of a sequel that game is.
Yes.
In the sense of like it just does the same thing, but just tries to like make it a little more unique, you know?
Yeah.
So the first one's all just like rolling up a ball of shit and making stars.
Yes.
So this one's like,
as you do.
Yeah. So this one's like, you know, the king realizes like, oh, well, fuck, I only did the stars around Earth.
Yeah, whoops.
I forgot the rest of the, rest of the shit. Yeah. So he sends you back and realizes like, oh, the first game was a hit. And I have fans.
Breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah.
It does, that one does break the fourth wall.
Yeah, I guess technically, yeah. And so it's like you doing favors for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then in doing that, you get a second story of watching the king grow up.
Yeah.
And learn about his daddy issues.
Very heartwarming.
Yeah.
Aww. Just kidding. It's very sad.
It is really sad. He punches his dad.
Yeah.
Knocks him out cold because his dad was upset he got second in boxing.
Yep.
Against the rabbit.
Shouldn't have done it. the deep lore.
Speaking of games that, you know, just
yeah
want you to figure it out.
Similar lore to Dragon's Dogma, yeah. Actually, yeah.
But yeah, you know, it does like cool things like one of them's like a sumo guy.
Yep.
And he's like, I want to get bigger to like
that's actually one of my
fight
favorite
him.
Katamari levels.
Yeah, and so instead of rolling around a Katamari, you roll around the sumo guy and he's just eating food.
Yeah, you have to get as much
big.
Food items as
that's
possible
so
to
cute.
Make him fatter.
Yeah, or like the one where the guy wants to read in the dark, but it's too dark, so you have to roll up all the fireflies and make it bright.
Yeah, we love Katamari for this idea that it's like, it's less just like, roll it up and that's what you're done.
Yeah.
This has a lot more like, I guess you'd call it like mission-based stuff, or at least like more in the realm of a narrative, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because not everything's like just a time-based get the ball this big.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's, you know, collect this amount of objects, or like the one that's really difficult is this one where there's a bunch of different bear things laid around.
Dude.
But it ends the first time you roll up something with a bear. So the objective is to get as big as possible and roll up that, the biggest bear you can.
Yes.
But it is difficult.
I actually believe the biggest bear you can get is like one of the constellations. But
holy shit.
I think it's
I got
like
5 meters.
Oh, yeah. No. Trust me, I didn't do it.
I think that was my biggest problem with that one was I was looking more for like those just roll up and make everything real big and didn't want to like focus on objectives because I just wanted to like chill and just roll the thing up real big. But I it's cool that they obviously like iterated on the first one, which
but
is just
see
that.
This one did that because there's some people you can play like multiple objectives
exactly,
for,
yeah,
and then eventually you unlock the eternal mode,
which
so it's like you just roll unlimited.
It's always my favorite.
No time.
Yes,
it starts so small, and then you're rolling up all of Earth,
all of the Earth, literally all of the Earth,
all of it. You know, unlocking all your cousins,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and all the presents.
Yeah,
gotta get all the different aesthetics.
Yeah, it's such a good game.
It really is. Music's so good,
so good.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, play some Katamari right now.
Which, by the way, the not only are we on Spotify, but Namco Bandai has finally released the Katamari Damacy soundtrack on Spotify.
Honor of us being on Spotify.
They did it.
They have also released
thanks, Bandai
a companion
Namco.
Soundtrack.
They also put like the PSP and Vita Ridge Racers.
Ooh.
Need to listen to those.
You can just play them?
It's
no.
Ridge
Racer. Oh, yeah.
Just the music, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
Well,
$599.
Good drum and bass.
Real quick on my Final Fantasy 7 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Just play more Crisis Core. I'm to the point, I don't know, I keep doing all these side quests and keep using
just move
materia.
Forward. Who told you to do that?
Well, now when I just go into battles, I just cast Fire Aga once and everything dies.
Fuck
and then
yeah.
It's like no damage plus 35% mana. So then it's just like, So yeah, I think I need to like stop doing so many side quests and just like keep pushing through.
The game's just that easy.
Have you gotten to the Costa del Sol like side?
Not yet.
Oh my God, they're so fucking funny. Well, just keep pushing forward in the mm-hmm. story, and you'll get to those because you know Zach needs a break.
I just met Cloud. I don't know if y'all have heard of this guy.
Mm-mm. No.
Sounds like a nobody.
Yeah, I don't think he's imperative to the story.
More like clown, am I right?
Yeah.
Got him.
Might as well just dress up as a girl and get out of here, idiot.
And then, aside from Helldivers 2, I have been playing more Fortnite, which I actually do want to talk about because we don't talk about Fortnite, but we do play it a lot because the Avatar, The Last Airbender crossover event is happening right now.
Yeah.
And they added all four elements as bending as weapons in the game that you can get. And holy shit, that's way more fun to do than shooting people, surprisingly enough.
That is true.
And all of the bending is like better than guns.
It's true. They should just make that a game.
Because I had a challenge where I had to like, you know, do damage with water bending. And so I did that. And then I was like, wait a second. Why am I just not always using water bending?
Yeah, water bending is the best weapon in the game.
So it's just really neat because like obviously with water bending, you throw water as it like circles you from your little, what's it little called? Gourd?
Sure.
Can you do that with the Ninja Turtles?
Fill a flask.
Yeah,
yes.
Man.
Hell yeah.
You don't remember when Raphael was a waterbender? Like,
I do now.
You have to read the companion piece.
Yeah, that's the lore, you know, if you want to know.
Yeah.
Deep lore.
Yeah, it's only on a UMD. Oh.
And then, like, fire bending, you, like, punch, but then if you pull left trigger, you do this, like spinning kick thing spinning that, kick. Like, drop
oh,
kicks.
Fuck, that's so cool.
And, like, you go so fast. Fire bending's, like, really powerful because you, like, zip around. That it's hard to get shot.
Yeah.
Earthbending's probably the worst. You can make a wall.
It's like, the best defensive ability.
About to say, yeah, you can make a wall and you can throw rocks at people. And then with airbending, you like get inside of this, like it makes a big wheel
hamster
basically,
ball.
And you make like a hamster ball and you can just like zip around the map.
It seems kind of lame if Super like, jump. I mean, everyone can make a wall, right?
Well, we play zero build, so no one can make walls. So it's actually more impactful there. But you make the wall and you can push it like towards people for damage too.
Nice.
And it is a strong wall. Yeah, unlike the shit that you build with your little fucking wood planks.
If you make four of them and break it.
Mm-hmm. So you can pay 1,000 V-Bucks to get the Aang Battle Pass. You unlock Aang himself, and then you can unlock a bunch of other little things that go with him. And then if you complete all of the elements' like group of challenges, you can unlock the Appa Glider. So that's what I'm working on now, because I absolutely need the Appa Glider.
Cool. Yeah. I have to get an Appa Glider. It's
like the challenges aren't that bad. You only need to do 4 of the 6 on each element.
That's not terrible.
Because you need to do those challenges anyway to get the whatever currency to unlock the Aang Battle Pass. I think, is the currency.
Why
you're
not?
Watching there.
Sounds
so. Fortnite's kind of been down. I haven't been playing it as much because Epic has kind of been sucking lately, just in terms of like how they're running their economy and how. Not only recently did they bump up the price of V-Bucks, not as expensive as it used to be, but still higher than it was. But what you get from like the character bundles is significantly less than what you used to get, or they're more expensive, and everything just feels like really bare bones, and like they're trying to like nickel and dime us to death.
Yep,
they made it a lot more difficult to like earn XP, and they give you less XP for doing quests because they want you to play all the other game modes, which is like, ugh.
Gotta log in every day.
And then instead of being able to just do like 3 dailies each week, you can only do 3 match quests, which means you can do 1 match quest per match. So you can't like do multiple dailies per 1 match. So
you just pop in and pop out.
So you have to play at least 3 games, but then you can also do a match and not complete your match quest, so then you have to do another one. So they're just doing little things to try to like artificially make you play more and like spend, like it feels gross. And I don't
annoying.
It.
Yep.
So that's why, you know, I'm still gonna be playing Fortnite, of course, but that's why Helldivers 2 has become almost more of that, like, I got time in the evening, let's hit up some people and, you know,
dive on in,
spread some freedom
straight to hell.
And so that's what we've been playing currently.
Yeah.
Let's take a trip back to the past with Retro Rewind. Celebrating the 20th anniversary of Onimusha 3 Demon Siege.
Goodness.
Demons.
Which originally came out on PlayStation 2 April 27th, 2004.
That's a long time ago.
That is
Where
a long time ago.
When Onimusha
Still
3
in high
came
school.
Out. Same.
Yeah.
I never played much of Onimusha 3 or any
which,
of Onimusha series.
Which
Onimusha so
did you play the most of?
None of them. I played Blade Oni, dudes. Developed by Bungie, and that is it. So what's up with Onimusha 3?
Onimusha 3 is an action-adventure game from Capcom. It is the third in the series of the Onimusha games.
There's
Makes
a
sense.
Siege of demons
yeah, there's
on
like
the earth.
At least 7 or 8 of them. as far as I recall, I've fought at least 7 or 8 demons.
There's a French guy.
Yeah, so this one
The
features,
professional.
Yeah, it is the professional himself, Mr. Jean Reno, which is a weird get, honestly. Like, I don't feel like in 2004, Jean Reno was like, like a hot piece to get. Like, I I don't remember the last time Jean Reno was relevant.
Well,
in
you
kind of
know how like you see like these B movies that are made that they pick up like the dude that played Belding or something.
Yeah.
You know, like that's probably what this was. You know, like hey, we got that guy.
Yeah, it's just like an odd choice, but it's fine. He's actually like good in this game, if I recall. Like
he's like, I want a paycheck.
Yeah, he's got some acting chops already, so he brings it in this game. He doesn't phone it in. But yeah, he's one of the playable characters you can be. This is a dual protagonist game.
Mm-hmm. Kind of cool, yeah.
With Onimusha himself for
Semina Nosuke.
Yeah.
Is his name.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He's the main character.
Who's the guy in the first one, but not in the
second one. That's right, yeah.
Or in the fourth one.
Yeah. Hmm. Warlords.
No, Dawn that's of a Dreams.
Different one. Warlords was just an entire spinoff, right? Like it's just like its own separate thing.
Is that,
or is that just the first one? The title.
Onimusha Warlords? That was the Xbox version of the first one.
Is that what it is?
I think.
There's no way.
Which I think had like some slight differences.
Yeah.
But
write us in and tell us what the differences are.
Or was that no, that was like Genma Onimusha.
That's Genma Onimusha.
What was Onimusha Warlords?
I don't know. There's no way to know. Like I said.
I remember Blade Dudes.
I think that might be it.
Oh. It was Blade Warriors.
So did you beat 3?
Yeah, like, so actually Onimusha 3 was...
Warlords is just the first one.
Oh, okay.
It's just nice. Apparently the subtitle to the first one.
Oh, didn't know it had one.
We learned that.
Learned something new every day. It was actually the first one I ever played. And I think it was Ben who used to like always tell me that I needed to play that game. And so I finally like bought it when it became a greatest hits.
Yeah.
It was actually really... cool, like it got me to play the other two games that I never played, but I quickly realized there was a major difference with 3 in that the first two are like tank control, like Resident Evil.
Oof.
And the third one is not. The third one's like whatever direction
like
you point you
human
run
control.
Like yes.
A normal game.
Yeah, so like a normal game.
If you didn't get it whenever it first came out, did you get that triple pack that we used to sell? I remember we used to sell a lot of copies of that.
No, because I got it by itself and then ended up picking like the other two up.
Yeah,
because
they were like
20
bucks
each. New at the time.
Oh,
or
yeah,
something
you got them
well.
New. No, we lost some used. Maybe they had stickers. Maybe we put stickers on those boxes.
Probably.
We were like, I don't want the sticker boxes.
No.
Disgusting.
One thing about that game that still stands out is just the intro. The opening cinematic is, it was done by like this company called like Robot something, I don't know. But it's just like an incredible fucking cinematic. It was,
it's very cool.
It was like the cinematic at the time that like when you watched it, you knew like this was the new bar as far as like animation, lighting, choreography of the fights. Like it was just like movie level shit happening on a PS2. And
nice.
It was just like, this is the new bar.
Let you know what you were in for in the game.
Yeah.
It wasn't as cool as the opening cinematic.
No.
But the game's still pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a really, really, really fucking cool cinematic. And I think, like Steven mentioned in our chat, like, we used to just, like, play this for people in the store. Like, not even trying to sell the game. Just, sir, drop what you're doing. And you just have to watch this real quick, okay? It's like, 4 minutes long.
What a very gameware thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
To make people engage with us. Like, other stores do that in a sense is like, I'm trying to sell you something, but this is like, you have to hang out with us. Because you're in our store, and we're doing video game shit right now, and you're
like,
on
trust
the
me.
Cusp of video gaming, and like...
You're going to be glad you saw this.
Yeah. They're always,
someone
yeah.
has like a memory of this happening to them.
That's what I'm
like,
saying.
Out
like,
there. Like yeah.
yeah, it's a very unique thing that I feel like GameWare brings to the table.
Onimusha 3, Demon Siege. Yeah. Happy 20th birthday.
A really good
this
game.
Week. Let's move into some news.
Woo-hoo. News it up.
Right before we recorded this, actually, Nintendo Direct, because it's not Nintendo. It was Atlus giving a first-hand look at Metaphor Refantasio.
Yeah.
Its next RPG coming out this October. This was the main, I think the director, he worked on Nocturne, Persona 3, Persona 4, and Persona 5, he was saying. So this is his next game. And
what a resume.
Right?
I know, right? Did anyone else check this out before we
recorded? I did. Unfortunately, I watched it. At home. Well, I'd say I watched like 90% of it. I missed the very, very beginning.
Sure.
I'll watch it when I get home.
It was mostly him just kind of like telling you who he was, and then he worked on those games. But yeah, it looks like if you want Persona, but in like a fantasy setting,
sure,
this game is probably for you.
Yeah, sounds very like dreary. I'm surprised this isn't under the Shin Megami Tensei like name, because it feels like Shin Megami Tensei.
I know we had discussed
Tensei.
This previously when we saw like the teaser for it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, does this fall into that sort of like world? Is this an SMT game? Like, what? Where does this fall?
I mean, I guess like technically, aren't they all?
Oh,
like
yes and no. It's within that world.
Because I feel I haven't played, but I played three. Mm-hmm. And then the other two I played were, I think, Digital Devil Saga?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or no.
I mean, all those games are like
yeah,
the same.
Those
like,
and,
yeah,
those
and technically,
Devil
like,
Summoner? Is that one?
That's, yeah,
yeah.
That's
I played
yeah.
those
Devil
two.
Survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah, technically all these games are kind of happening in like parallel universes or different universes
gotcha,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this game's here. Persona is actually with if this happened in this game. So, you know, it's, they all kind
right.
of
they're
are
on
connected.
The Jack Frostiverse.
But it seems nice. Like this one is not.
Yeah,
at
it's,
all.
It definitely seems like it's its own thing. And I don't know if narratively we'll see there's a reason why for that.
Sure,
but it's
yeah.
maybe that's why it's called
into,
Metaphor.
Maybe. Because this one seems to incorporate more of an open world where you encounter your enemies and a little bit more of like kind of like a Crisis Core I'm playing through, or almost like probably Crisis Core or like a Kingdom Hearts is probably the most, or Xenoblade maybe, where you like run into you can see the enemies moving around the open world, you can choose to interact with them and you can like run up and hit them and cause damage.
Yeah.
But then if you don't kill them because you're strong enough, it starts the turn-based strategy, and it looks like not a strategy, a turn-based like combat, where then it looks more like a traditional Persona game.
Well, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, and like it's both the menus and the UI when in the battles had that same like Persona flair
sure,
and
yeah.
style.
They have to keep that, right? Like,
Shoji Meguro's back as the composer great. For yes, this, but he's great. Not doing like Persona music. He's doing like epic Final Fantasy like music.
Sounds perfect.
Hell yeah.
Like it really seems like it's just them taking a stab basically like a Persona cross Final Fantasy kind of game.
That sounds great.
Or just trying to do something very different right now.
Yeah.
I super
but you still
that.
Like, you could still transform into other characters to unlock new abilities to use as your main person. And then you can also make friends with other characters in the game and your party members to strengthen those bonds. So when you morph into another character, it becomes stronger too. I don't know what that sounds like. Mm. But...
it sounds like an original idea. They've never done this before. Actually.
He did seem to insinuate that there's going to be a lot of recruitable characters. There,
yeah.
So I'm so excited.
I like that. I love recruiting characters.
Mm-hmm.
And
whenever you recruit the character, it seems like you get like a new class of like this monster thing that you transform into. So like you can run like, and everyone that you have in your party can change into like the same monster sort of class. So like you can all be the warrior dudes, or you can have a warrior and a monk and a like magician sort of. So
I love
it's
a class system.
It does have a job.
Right?
Yeah, it's a class
seems
system.
Seems like it has a really interesting job class system.
All right.
Yeah.
This is going to be a day one buy for me already.
It looks really good. I got dated October 11th, 2024.
Almost my birthday.
Almost.
Woo-woo.
They knew.
Check that out then. To hold you over until October, we have news of another Ninja Turtle game coming out this year. I guess technically it's already been out for all of those who don't have iPhones like me. But TMNT Splintered Fate is set to come out on Switch as a timed console exclusive this July. Mm-hmm. It's currently out on Apple Arcade if you do have an iPhone. And it's a multiplayer Ninja Turtle roguelike game.
Yeah, I forgot that this had already come out. I forgot this was an iOS game. I played this game kind of before.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Checked it out on
again,
iOS.
It was on my phone. So
sure.
I don't
know. It says Ninja Turtles. Okay.
I played it for a little bit, I guess. And it's serviceable. I think it might end up being better on like a console like the Switch. I feel like that's a more appropriate place for it because like moving characters with your phone is horrible to do. I want a controller to do that.
I know like Hades just came out on phone, but that seems way more difficult
than
it needs
basically
to be.
Kind of
unless you have you put your phone in like a big plastic
controller
or something.
I think they like bank on people using controllers
at this point. Maybe
a lot.
Yeah,
I hope this day and age.
I guess. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have that, so I didn't.
Yeah. Millennial.
Yeah, exactly. I'm interested to see, you know, like, you know, how this does? Yeah. What kind of like
I think price
feedback?
Point kind of depends for me. Like if this is like $25, then no. But
they did not. There's no other
like
details.
$10, sure.
I'm hoping for a 20.
There you go.
Crossplay. Yeah, I'll play on my phone and you guys play on Switch.
Like the suckers we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, dummies.
Let's see.
I'll just sign up for Apple Arcade.
It's like $5.
I thought the trailer looked good. Out of the like three Ninja Turtles games that are coming out this year, I think this is the one I'm most interested in. Just, I don't know, because of the roguelike elements.
Everyone loves a roguelike these days.
Especially if it's multiplayer. That's the part that's most interesting to me. I guess we'll see.
It's not local multiplayer, though.
Probably not.
Lame.
I don't know. It is a Switch. It's like the last bastion for things like that.
Yeah, I got to play on a rooftop.
Yeah.
You all have to bring all of your Switches to the rooftop. And then you can all... Actually, I don't know. I'm trying to see if this says anything about... local co-op versus online. I thought maybe they mentioned that in the direct.
It's probably just online, if I had to guess.
I think that's it too.
Because I can't imagine it's really much more than just a port.
Yeah, I mean they might have juiced it up a little bit for console, but
I don't see anything. But I assume it's probably online.
They're like microtransactions or anything like that? Or is everything just available?
It's just a full game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's kind
of
cool.
A lot of the games that are on Apple Arcade, like that's why it's like a paid service. So there's no like...
Nickel and diamond.
Yeah, there's no like...
That's cool.
Microtransactions.
Or if it's like a game that has a pass, they just like give you that paid content. Yeah.
Super Evil Megacorp is the developer of TMNT Splintered Fate.
You think they're nice guys?
Sound super nice. if you like trophies, like John Michael and Renee love trophies.
I love trophies.
Yeah, Beer Me 5.
Hell yeah. How many games did you buy with your trophies, Adam?
None yet. But PC users will be able to jump in on the trophy hunting game very soon.
Whoa.
With the new PlayStation overlay coming out for PlayStation on PC games, starting with Ghost of Tsushima next month.
Nice.
Ooh.
A literal overlay will pop up where it looks like your PS5 and PC users can earn trophies for their PlayStation games on their PC.
That is very cool, actually.
And maybe then you can earn some points and then eventually also get Helldivers 2.
Yeah, too could own Helldivers 2 if you put your mind to it.
So cool for PC users, cool for
trophy
hunters.
I mean, that's a very cool feature, right?
Yeah,
like,
why not add it?
Yeah.
You get... also a Steam achievement, like if I'm playing on...
Ooh, that's a good question. I pulled this from the PlayStation blog, where obviously they were just talking about their cool new thing, but I don't know if... Well, I guess you get double trophies.
You opt out of Steam achievements.
Maybe you do. I don't know. You gotta
choose
one.
Assume you earn both.
Yeah, I would have guessed, but I don't know. I was just wondering.
Just another little hit of dopamine there.
Yeah. Give me all the trophies.
Okay, let's see. While playing the game, you can earn PlayStation trophies just like on PlayStation consoles. Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut on PC shares the same trophy set as the PlayStation 5 console does. In addition, the PC version also has full support for achievements on Steam and the Epic Games Store.
Well, there you go.
To make use of features like trophies, friends lists, and crossplay, you can sign in with your existing account on PlayStation Network or create a new account. The use of PlayStation Overlay is optional for both the single-player experience and the Legends mode for Ghost of Tsushima.
Cool.
Yeah, it makes sense. Because if it like shares a list and you're playing this and you've already played it on PS5 and you're not earning trophies.
Right.
You still got to get that dopamine from Steam.
I get them.
Dopa-steam.
Dopa-steam. it's time for our like bi-monthly Embracer Group check-in.
How are they doing? Are they become good people yet?
No. So,
what companies are they embracing
all right,
now?
To the next one.
Well, they're not embracing any more companies. They're splitting up
families.
Their companies into three little smaller companies.
Split the difference.
So Embracer bought up a bunch of companies last year. Then their $1.9 billion investment fell through. Mm-hmm. So then they started like firing people and shutting down some of these ventures that they purchased, selling off some of them. We talked about Gearbox, I think was the most recent update.
Yep.
So now they're splitting up what they have left into three new companies, focusing on AAA titles in one, indie and mobile gaming in the second, and then like tabletop gaming in the third. Because they still own the rights to some pretty big IPs, yeah, like The Lord of the Rings.
And Friends.
And Tomb Raider.
And Friends.
And Friends. So the name, so the names of the three companies are Asmodee Group, Coffee Stain and Friends, and Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends.
Well, I wonder what they're doing.
Friends of Middle Earth Enterprises.
What the fuck?
These will be separate, publicly listed companies, which Embracer says will allow for, quote, each entity to better focus on their respective core strategies and offer more differentiated and distinct equity stories for existing and new shareholders.
Well, they're not giving the Middle Earth people too much to work with.
Well, they are to their friends, actually. Well, so, can you reread that last thing that you just said? Because that was nonsense words.
Embracer says this move will allow each entity to better focus on their respective core strategies and offer more differentiated and distinct equity stories for existing and new shareholders.
Yeah, so AI wrote that.
Yep.
Uh-huh. There's no way that it didn't. Human beings don't put those words together like that. So,
and notice they didn't care anything about the developers or the players.
No, it was their bottom line.
Yeah.
So, Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends, this company will be renamed from Embracer Group and is described as, quote, a creative powerhouse in AAA game development and publishing that will retain ownership of the Dead Island, Killing Floor, Kingdom Come Deliverance, Tomb Raider, and Lord of the Rings IPs that Embracer all owns.
Oh, the big five.
Asmodee Group is a new arm dedicated to publishing and distributing tabletop games.
Yeah, they're all a new arm.
The existing catalog includes established titles like Ticket to Ride, Seven Wonders, Azul, Catan, Dabble, and Exploding Kittens.
Okay, those are... never mind, go ahead.
Asmodee is also developing licensed tabletop games based on Lord of the Rings, Marvel, Game of Thrones, and Star Wars franchises. And then Coffee Stain and Friends is described as a diverse gaming entity that will focus on indie, mid-market, and free-to-play games. Properties sitting under this new company will include Deep Rock Galactic, Goat Simulator, Satisfactory, Wreckfest, Teardown, and Valheim.
Okay.
This move has been made with the intention to unleash the full potential of each team and provide them with their own leadership and strategic direction, says Embracer.
Man, Embracer sucks. Yeah. They don't need to own but any look, of this.
Deep Rock Galactic is apparently pretty good.
It's fine.
And Friends.
And Friends. Deep Rock Galactic and Friends is fine.
GameWare Express and Friends.
GameWare Express and Friends.
That's the new title of it. GameWare Express and Friends. Who do you think the and Friends are? Like,
it's the fourth wall.
I guess we... You think it's like whenever they're like giving out like, you know, royalty checks and stuff like that. And they're like,
it's the shareholders.
One, yeah, well, this one's for Lord of the Rings and this one's for Lord of the Rings friend David, like he also gets $20 because he's a friend.
Like, oh,
that
man.
Was from the tip when someone beat our
game.
Yeah,
they tipped him $20.
Well, if you want to leave tips for games
or David,
Call of Duty will gladly take your money, and I don't know. I think at this point, Call of Duty has officially jumped the shark. Because now Call of Duty will allow you to play as a dinosaur in both Modern Warfare 3 and Warzone.
Cool.
The Codosaurus Operator Bundle is available in the in-game shop.
They named it the Codosaurus.
The Codosaurus.
There's already so many dinosaurs. You made up a new one?
Apparently also okay. So
can
again,
you, I'm so sorry. Can
and
you
that's named
up?
After a
I
fish.
Need to look at this. Is that the design that they came up with?
This is the Codosaurus.
Okay, let's see this.
Turn.
Codosaurus.
That's
I can't turn
character
anymore.
Character from Killer Instinct that already exists.
Also, apparently during
it looks terrible.
Last Why? Weekend.
This is bad. No.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a cool dinosaur.
No.
Looks, oh, that looks cool.
Are they?
No, it doesn't.
Are they
Shut
trying?
Up, Neil.
Are they just like people like Baldur's Gate 3? They like Dragonborn.
Yeah, that it looks stupid. It's like a
It's like they actually did have a pretty dope Godzilla skin at one point.
Yeah, and that's good for them, but they should have not made.
So, Godzilla.
And look, it's like all capital COD.
This is going to awaken things in people.
That's what they're hoping
I'm fearful.
So, the Codosaurus Ultra Skin Bundle is currently priced at 2,400 COD points. Or approximately $20 in human money. Which is the average cost for operator bundles, GameSpot.com says.
Okay, thanks for the update.
Also, for those...
I'm not paying a premium for Codosaurus.
As clearly none of us are in the COD sphere, because...
Not yet.
For those who celebrate, this past weekend was 420. And they had a Cheech and Chong operator bundle, which we talked about last week.
That's very funny.
Also, the stoner-themed Blaze Up event is running live right now until April 24th.
Wow. Call of Duty knows their audience.
You can also be a sloth.
If the on-the-nose moments were not enough, they're just like, also, fuck you, you lazy piece of shit. This is you. Be a sloth, idiot.
Okay. So it's been a while since I've played Call of Duty.
Instead of a gun, you should just have a cell phone that orders DoorDash to your house.
It's the airstrike. It calls an airstrike on yourself.
It's a fry strike.
Oh, man. Well, if you don't want to be the Codosaurus,
well, hold on. I didn't say I didn't want to. I just said it was stupid.
Soon, you can be Billie Eilish in Fortnite, according to Billie Eilish.
I love a mashup
Hell
of
yeah.
the two.
She tweeted out.
Eilishosaurus.
She tweeted on Monday that Billie Eilish will be taking over the main festival stage in Fortnite.
Cool.
Which makes sense because Monday was the last day that Lady Gaga Battle Pass. Is happening
She's
the festival pass
moment.
So now Billie Eilish will be taking over. No other details yet that we know of as of this recording. I don't know if the Billie Eilish will just be the new festival pass where that's where you play the fake new Rock Band mode
sure.
and you can unlock different songs, and then if you get to the end of that battle pass you get the
I'm
artist
sure it'll be that,
or if she'll also have an in-game concert, which they've done in the past mm-hmm. with like Marshmello and Travis Scott and Ariana Grande mm-hmm. Where it's like an in-game event that you go to like a little 12 to 15 minute kind of mashup concert.
That will get Steven to log in.
Yeah.
If the Ninja Turtles couldn't do it,
Billie
Eilish could.
Certainly could.
So be on the lookout for Billie Eilish. She'll probably be up by the time this episode goes live, at least as a festival pass.
Probably.
Because the Lady Gaga one ends tonight.
Sure.
So. Be sure to get the rest of those festival notes to get your Lady Gaga skin if you haven't done that yet.
So you can shoot people as Billie Eilish.
This also kind of ties into...
With your earth power.
Yeah.
Yeah, you make her a waterbender.
Basically. This kind of ties in with the one rumor has it I have for this week, where apparently all of Fortnite's yearly roadmap has leaked.
Like, for the rest of the year.
For the rest of the year.
Cool.
And... The only reason I'm throwing it in there now, because it did correctly identify that Billie Eilish should be dropping, like, this week.
So this has probably got some legs to it. If they don't, like, adjust based on the
right,
leak, right? So
it is from 4chan.
No, someone
but...
just made it right after the tweet.
So apparently, if you want to know, okay, so if you don't want to know what's happening in Fortnite.
I already looked through some of this, but so, yeah, you go
so
ahead.
So right now we're just wrapping up or coming to the end of Chapter 5, Season 2.
Sure.
So it's saying Season 3... is supposed to be apocalypse themed and feature Metallica.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
As well as possibly Pirates of the Caribbean crossover.
Ah, the big two. I love how Metallica had that guest appearance in the second Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Season 4 will be another Marvel-based season.
Cool.
This time starring the Fantastic Four.
Nice.
As well as other big Marvel characters who haven't made their way into the game yet, which they're still...
Like who?
Yeah. Fair amount of I don't know. Doesn't say.
Read it.
Trying to think who else hasn't been like who's a big Marvel character that hasn't come to Fortnite yet. I'm sure there are a lot.
Nope, all 17 of them are in it. So.
Season 5 will be the return of OG Fortnite. It says.
Didn't they just do that?
Yeah, that was the end of chapter four.
That made money. So
yeah, honestly, again. I was about to say, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Can we run then, that one back?
No information yet on the chapter six launch. It also leaked the next four icon/festival artists to be featured in the game. Billie Eilish, starting on Tuesday the 23rd.
Okay.
Metallica in June.
Nice.
Carol G in August.
Carol
Kenny G. G's sister.
Yeah, that's it. I need,
she Kenny. Plays the flute.
But she's his agent, so she's yeah. on board.
See, this is where I know I'm getting old when a lot of these people come to Fortnite. I don't know who Carol G is.
We just told you.
Yeah, it's Kenny G.
Kenny G's sister
slash agent.
She's a Colombian singer.
Oh, I love that song.
So she, and she does reggaeton, which I don't listen to.
I listen to a ton of reggae.
And finally, it says in October we'll be getting Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Hell yeah.
He's got to do That's something.
Cool. Like I say, I wonder again if these will just be the Battle Pass characters for the Festival Pass, or if we'll get those concerts.
Why didn't they put him in the last weekend?
I know, right? That would, why wasn't that for April?
Hey, you know, to be fair, Metallica's last album, not half bad.
Yeah?
Well, that's good to know.
Only like a quarter bad.
I didn't even know they put one out.
Yeah.
There we go.
Have to make sure you pay for the Metallica skins, or Lars Ulrich will hire lawyers.
Ooh. Yeah, can I pirate the Metallica skins somehow?
Well, there are. Like actually, that's very funny that they're having pirates on the same season as Metallica. Very tongue-in-cheek of them. Also, you can be the Napster cat.
The LimeWire Lime?
Yeah, see, yeah, exactly. That'll be your back bling.
The Tomato Torrent.
Actually,
Tomato? Guy?
Yeah, that'll be the gun.
Why not?
How cool would it be to have the Napster cat to be
that would be fucking cool. I want
get the
that.
Pirate Bay flag.
Yeah. Apparently also the Lego Fortnite mode will be getting some more Star Wars content and the addition of a Lego Clombo, which is the big I don't know, weird dinosaur looking thing that wandered around
the Legosaurus.
It's also just weird, like a lot of these crossovers, I don't know, they usually try to align crossovers with like other things happening, but all of these just seem to be really just popping up. Like we are getting a Fantastic Four movie next year. Like we are getting a Pirates of the Caribbean movie again, I don't know, next year, like, or in 2 years.
They want you to be excited about it now.
Metallica, I guess, just released an album. I don't say just, when was this album?
A couple of months ago.
Okay, so that's relatively newer, at least.
You know, I think that is sort of interesting, and maybe it's something they're just experimenting with, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, yes, traditionally, everything releases when, like, that piece of media launches, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the internet doesn't really do that anymore,
true,
right? It's an event leading up to the event to get there. So, I don't know, maybe they're on some new shit where it's like, we're going to, like, take advantage of the early hype, and then when the movie does come out, so they release the Fantastic Four now, and then it comes out, and then they just have a Fantastic Four event around the things that they've already released, and new content on top of that, so you're basically just double dipping.
That's true. You can just
maybe I'm overthinking this. I just gave them a brilliant idea.
You can just reuse the fire bending and like the earth bending from this current event for when the Fantastic Four show up.
Actually, what they're doing is they're getting them out now to charge you 1,200 Fortnite coins.
Yes, well, they are doing that too.
Yeah, and so then by the time the movie comes out, they will have raised Fortnite coins.
Ah.
But then they'll be on sale for 2,400 Fortnite coins. Inflation.
There you go.
Thanks, Fantastic Four.
So that's it for the news this week. John Michael, you're curious what new games are coming out?
This is
it looked like a big list.
Yeah.
It is a pretty big list for the list last week of April.
Yeah, we're entering a new phase of video games. I think the last 2 weeks have been pretty quiet.
Yeah, much less in terms of new releases compared to this week. So
what do we got?
Tuesday, April 23rd, you can play Eidolon Chronicles 100 Heroes on PS4.
How do you spell it?
Y-U-Y-I-N.
That's on PS5, Xbox Series, and PC.
Renee and I will be trying to collect all of our different 150 heroes in a 100 heroes game.
Gotta catch them all.
Yeah.
Do you hope this one's better than whatever y'all talked about last week?
There's no way
not sound
it
good.
Can't. It has to be. There's,
the reviews are
it
good.
Can only yeah, that's be what I'm better.
Saying. It literally can only like because they're different games where like this one is like designed as a good game and the other one was designed as a bad game for babies. So.
Also on April 23rd, Hammerwatch 2 coming to PS4 and Xbox Series. Did I write that down right?
Yeah, that's what you've been playing recently.
Yeah, Hammerwatch 2 is a game from 2023. So I guess this is like the console version.
Ooh. No, yeah. It already came out on PS5 and Switch back in December.
Oh,
and so now it's coming to Xbox and PS4.
Oh, finally for the PS4.
Finally. Lunar Lander Beyond coming out on PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series, Switch, and PC.
This is a real title and not like a shovelware.
Lunar Lander : Beyond.
Hmm. Beyond.
It's developed by Dreams Unincorporated, and published by Atari. It's an action game rated E10.
Yeah, this is. Has made no impact on the internet whatsoever. So,
Phantom Fury
it's making it on the moon,
coming out on PC also on April 23rd. Phantom Fury
sounds like a fighting game.
Is it spelled like a regular, like a ghost phantom?
Yeah, like P H.
If you spell it, I thought they were going to be fun with it. I thought I was going to like be clever.
So this,
but then I looked up Phantom Fury with the F. And that's a vacuum cleaner, so that's how I knew it wasn't this game.
This artwork looks very like Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. It's a shooter developed by Slipgate Ironworks.
This looks exactly like Blood Dragon.
A lot of games on April 23rd. Tales of Kinzera, Zao.
You just made up what? The end of that.
This is not
stroke?
This is not a like Tales series game.
Tales of Kinzera : ZAU.
Z.
That's coming out on PS5,
was that like three
Xbox
different words,
series.
Or did you spell something?
Tales of Kinzera KENZERA.
We.
It's Tales of Zinzazu.
This is that the game that at the Game Awards
that
we
thought was
like,
Black Panther.
This is gonna be a Black Panther game, and this actually ended up being like a really cool looking like
that's right,
like Guacamelee.
It's published by EA Originals.
This game
or the EA Originals program, but it's developed by Surgeon Studios.
I think I remember commenting at the time that it's a terrible name for a game.
It is a terrible name for a game
because no one will remember to say that, but it does look fun, and I might play it. So.
Mm-hmm. And wrapping up new releases for Tuesday, April 23rd, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade Wrath of the Mutants.
Cool.
Coming on PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series, Switch, and PC. This is a console adaptation of the 2017 arcade for the 2012 Nickelodeon cartoon.
Yes.
A lot of dates.
It's a really big cabinet. It's like a huge cabinet if you haven't seen it in real life.
It's cool looking.
Yeah.
It's a cool game. The only thing I like worry about with these types of games is like it's still just going to be like an arcade quarter eater.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, but just now on console.
I mean, how is like any other Ninja Turtles game? That, I mean, I feel like when you play
like
Shredder's Revenge
or
Turtles
like,
in Time, like
it
it's the
just
same
feels
thing.
Better. Like I'm not dying as often.
That's
it feels
fair.
More like a game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fair. But Turtles in Time is that same kind of like setup, right?
Yeah, originally. It's great.
Thursday, April 25th, another Crab's Treasure coming out on Xbox One, Xbox Series, Switch, and PC.
I don't even know what that is.
Fallout 4 coming out on PS5
finally.
And Xbox Series.
God.
That current gen update.
They
for Fallout 4.
It like 10 years ago.
I'm waiting.
Library of Ruina. Ruina? R-U-I-N-A? Ruina?
Ruin-A.
Coming out on PS4 and Switch, April 25th.
Oh, this looks terrible.
Saga Emerald Beyond, coming out on PS4, PS5, Switch, PC, iOS, and Android.
It's a $50 iOS app.
I thought this was already out, but I guess...
The demo's out.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
I played the demo. It was... A Saga game.
Okay, well, then that means I'll probably not play it then.
It's better than Unlimited.
Oh, okay, well, that's
but not great.
Not saying much.
And on Friday, April 26th, Demon Slayer Sweep the Board has an exclamation point at the end. What? Coming out on Nintendo Switch.
Switch the board.
It's a party game. Oh, wait, is this like Mario Party for Demon Slayer? Hold on now.
Oh, well, okay.
Hold on now. Let's. I need to see what.
Okay.
You got.
I'm interested. You have my attention.
That's interesting.
Enjoy events and mini games with up to four players. Roll the dice and aim to become the strongest Demon Slayer swordsman.
Oh, you got to rotate the thumb pad fast enough to slay the demons.
You have to cut the boulder.
This is so funny that this exists.
You have to cut the boulder in half.
Time to stream it.
It really literally is Mario Party, but with Demon Slayer. Holy shit, yep. Look at this.
All right, like time to stream it. That'll be fun.
The board is, like, the dice is literally above your, oh my God.
Nothing about Demon Slayer. So, I'll provide commentary as we need to go through it as a
Yeah.
I need to go check this out from the store.
Thoughts,
I need
really.
Yeah, true. No, that's what I'm saying. We all have to play it together.
One of the worst anime fucking sidekick characters in all of anime in
the
show.
One of the worst animes. You heard it here first, folks. A lot of firsts.
Zenitsu?
Yes. I hate him so much. And he's worse in English. Like the
Are you
5 seconds
okay,
I hear this.
Adam, you and I heartily disagree on anime sidekicks.
No.
Often for me, the sidekick is like the one redeemable character.
No.
No, I'm going to hate this one.
He's the worst.
Okay, never
I mind. Think... Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe it could go so full circle that you could end up liking
that,
him.
That is an option as well.
Yeah.
I've only watched the first season of Demon Slayer, so I don't know if he gets better, but he is terrible.
Yeah.
He is the worst. Because he's not a traditional, like... He's not the traditional anime sidekick trope. He just fucking sucks.
Okay, that's fair. There's a difference.
Off the fucking wall.
There's a difference. All right. Well, I hate him too now then. You convinced me.
I need to watch season 2 of Demon Slayer, but there's like a movie, but maybe you don't have to watch the movie. It's very confusing.
No, you have to watch the movie. It's so fucking good.
Okay,
well, what if there's questions about the movie and the game?
Fuck,
Adam?
Oh, now you get caught up before Friday when Demon Slayer
the
Sweep the Board comes out.
Yeah,
season like 4 is about to come out.
Shit!
You gotta watch it. What if there's season 4 trivia in the game?
Manor Lords on PC coming out April 26th.
Mr. Lords.
Sandland coming out on PS4, PS5, Xbox Series, and PC.
Didn't realize that was coming out now.
Sandland. Published by Bandai Namco. Stellar Blade coming out on PS5 April 26th.
I'm gonna say that.
Apparently, some execs at EA were upset because Stellar Blade got rated in Japan, but Dead Space Remake did not for gore. But they're like, Stellar Blade has gore. What the hell, guys?
Interesting.
I don't know.
That's, yeah.
Boo-hoo.
They should cry about it.
And finally on April 26th, Top Spin 2K25, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series, and PC.
Hey, look, perusing the internet, I've been seeing glowing reviews for this Top Spin.
No,
game.
I was just about to say, dude,
not being facetious.
I haven't, like, did not know Top Spin was still a thing, and I fucking loved Top Spin on
they
Xbox 360.
Back.
Really?
This is new.
Dude, I may have to get this.
And throwing it back to like 2008, a Sunday release.
That's not allowed.
On April 28th.
Is it Nintendo?
It is.
Oh, that's why.
El Shaddai Ascension of the Metatron HD Remaster coming out on Nintendo Switch on Sunday, April 28th.
$70. It's not that good.
That they had it on the Sabbath for El Shaddai.
I thought it was going to be like a $20 game.
I think it lines up with the same... Like, I think it came out on this day back in, like, 2011.
Is that what it
says
is?
It comes out tomorrow.
El Shaddai?
Oh, no. Top Spin. I'm looking at Top Spin.
Oh, yeah. No, we've moved on to El Shaddai.
Yeah, because El Shaddai originally came out on April 28th, 2011.
That's cute that they lined up that date again. That was a fun game. I enjoyed that. I played it on PS3 originally when it came out. I'm glad it's still getting some traction. It's a weird game.
Yeah.
But
your character wears jeans.
Yep. Honestly, that's maybe that can be our question for next week. What is a video game that is not a create your own character where a main character wears jeans?
It's just so out of place in that entire world.
What's it out of place in any video game world, it seems like.
Yeah.
The guy from the bouncer.
Okay, but doesn't not like Jinko pants.
All three?
All three of them.
Yeah.
All wearing the Jinko.
Yeah, it can't
pants.
Be like Kingdom Hearts, like these are like inspired by jeans, but like and also raves and also Spencer gifts.
Numora in his belts, man.
Yeah.
Everyone wears belts and that's it. That's it.
That's why you never see their pants fall off. The only reason.
So secure.
That's it for your new releases. So many new releases. Anyone picking up any of these?
Like half of them.
Aiden Chronicles.
I might check out that Black Panther game.
Yeah.
That looks
Black
good.
Panther, it's not Black Panther. Yeah.
I'll be picking up Stellar Blade.
For sure.
I don't know, man. This Ninja Turtles kick. I probably won't get that. Maybe later.
I'll think it depends on how much it is.
Pick up all these games, all these 40 different Ninja Turtle games that came out on the collection that comes out next year. So.
If you want to email the show, you can. GameWareExpress@gmail.com is that email address. We have an email this week.
Cool.
Whoa.
This email comes in from someone titled JBB. Hello, JBB. JBB says, what are the ways you have killed or almost killed a console? It could be the Ring of Death or just simply death of the console. I left GTA Vice City running on my PS2 when I went to school as a kid and came home and the console never turned back on again. So what ways have you killed or almost killed a console? Thanks for that question, JBB.
That's a really good question. I don't have any like console specifically, but I killed a DVD player and I think a DVD, and I was really upset about it.
Oh, no.
I like it was Record of Lotus War, if you know what that is. It's a very old school anime.
Yeah.
It's like it's fucking influential too, because it's like one of the top tier like anime waifus of all time, D-Lit. It's like this blonde elf girl.
Lady.
You'll know her if you saw her. You'll be like, oh yeah, that's that girl. Anyway, I had the DVD and I left it in my DVD player on the, you know, just the main screen. And we went on vacation for like a week, and whenever I came back, I turned on my television and the DVD was still going and the DVD player was on, and I was like, oh shit, and I turned it off, took the DVD out, tried to play the DVD again like a few weeks later, it wouldn't play.
Oh no.
And the DVD player also like never worked the same after that.
No.
So
just overheated,
it just like
or something, I
broke
guess.
My fucking heart and shattered it into pieces.
Wow. One of my Xbox 360s, I did have multiple red rings, but one of them so I had the same TV cabinet I had back in college, and I had my Xbox 360 in it. So I was a sucker for buying stupid things because I was 19. And I bought like a Nyko. You plugged into your back of your Xbox, and it was like a cooling fan.
No. Oh, yeah. One of those things. Yeah.
The Best Buy crew got you on that?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, those guys, they didn't know.
So you plug it into like the back of the console into where the power supply goes, then plug that power plug into that. And then I left that on, and then my Xbox cut off, and then I smelled fire, and the thing like caught on fire and like burnt up like the cooling thing, and then it like burnt up the back of the Xbox as well.
Shit.
So like, you know, luckily it didn't like burn the dorm down.
Yeah.
But it definitely like it smelled bad in there for a little bit because that thing like burnt up, like it was black.
Yeah.
But what about your Xbox?
It was dead.
Oh man!
Luckily, I had the Best Buy protection thing.
Oh,
so
no.
good.
I had like four Xbox 360s by the time
I
was done there.
I definitely had a red ring. I would, you know, always try to fix my consoles too, and
wrap it in the towel
whenever you know I had time to do that. Honestly, and yeah, we got our first 360 like fixed. Like we fixed it. Like my brother and I. Like went through all the stuff, we busted it open, did everything we needed to, and we got it back working for a very long time. But they're just not made to last.
Yeah.
Same with the PS2. My fat PS2, when I had that, the laser went out.
Mine too. It didn't read blue discs.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you know, so I went in and like fixed the laser basically.
Ooh, fancy you.
Yeah. So you can go in, you can pop that bad boy open, you can like re-clean the laser. Again, it didn't give it gave it extra life, but it didn't like, you know, fix it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it did eventually die. I can't think of a time where I like demolished or like accidentally broke something. Just in my brain, the prompt drives me to when I was younger, though. I remember that my younger brother had gone on like a trip or something, like with like a school trip for the day, and they had taken like my mom or something, like it's like a chaperone, so they had, she had taken some of the kids in her car. Well, I had left my link cable in there at the time. this tells you how long ago this was. Last week. And I got back in the car that afternoon, I was going to I was working on my Pokedex as a young man, and I was trying to do some trades, and I went to go hook up the link cable, and it was literally pulled, it was all pulled apart, exposed wires and everything. What? And it straight up didn't work. I was furious and so upset. My mom acted like it was absolutely nothing. She couldn't care less. I was like, how are you okay with them destroying my thing? What were they doing?
Playing tug of war with the link cable?
Yeah.
No.
Honestly, it was something like that. Yeah. And it was no big deal. I had to wait till the whole next weekend to go get another link cable. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Man, I've had, I've unfortunately had some consoles go through hell. My poor Game Boy Color still works to this day somehow.
Absolutely, because it's an Nintendo.
But
product.
I dropped it from the 13th story in Gulf Shores at a hotel.
God.
And it landed on the concrete. Battery cover went everywhere. Fired right back up. That same Game Boy. One day, I was at my house and decided to play basketball with my brother. So I set my Game Boy down on the back tire of my father's Tahoe, and he decided to back up and leave. Put a pretty big scratch in the screen, but she still works. Another thing, this one wasn't me, but I found it, but my stepbrother had a Sega Genesis. And I grew up in a two-story house, so one of the rooms had one of those little dormitory kind of areas where it just stuck out, and it was storage and a window, but it was the second story. So it was this room, half of it was slanted because it was just the roof.
I fucking love that. It's my dream room.
Except there's no insulation. And because it's just the roof, it gets really hot.
Sure.
So he stored his Genesis in the cabinet under there.
No.
And years later, I found it because that room became mine at some point. You move into the bigger room when you're the little brother, and finally they're all out the house. And it's just mine.
Neil, get in the hot closet.
Yeah. So, I found it and went to plug it in. It didn't work. And when I opened it up, it was so hot in that cabinet for so long that the capacitors melted to the motherboard.
Oh, fuck.
Melted the console.
And then the third one that I can think of is my poor PC that I built a few years ago.
No.
When Asher was younger, we had taught him how to pour. And so one morning I was sitting down at my PC and I set my coffee down on it. And he just grabbed it and was like, Dad, watch me pour. And poured my coffee just right into the fan, through it all. Fried the entire PC, and honestly, the only thing I could think was damn, that was a good pour. Nailed it.
At least he's very good at pouring.
He was.
To this day. I heard he has an interview to be a barista.
Hopefully.
Oh my God. I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Children.
So you're going to build another PC?
I've been saying I would, but I haven't. So this I don't really game on a PC or really sit in front of a desktop. I do that for work.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to do it for leisure.
That's true. And I have a really large television.
TV is a better screen.
Exactly.
thanks for that question. You can also email the show. GameWareExpress@gmail.com is that email address. And that brings us to the end of our show. You can find GameWare on Facebook, facebook.com/GameWareBR. You can also go to GameWare.com and buy video games to play yourself. We will ship them to you.
Onimusha 3.
You could probably buy Onimusha 3.
Check out that opening cinematic. It's worth it just for that. Now on sale.
Or you can go to GameWare physically. You can walk into a store and look at things on a shelf. It's a wild concept.
Yeah.
Two locations worldwide, conveniently located here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Number one stop for Onimusha 3.
If you don't want to do all that, you can just follow me on Threads. I am at Adam Arender.
I am on Threads at JM Carly, and Blue Sky at Earthworm JM.
I don't have anything.
Good choice. Good choice.
I'm on social media at Vanellala. That's like vanilla, but with a nay in A-E and an extra la at the end. And you can check out my super cool website, which is www.speakingofrenemartin.com for all my voice work.
You can listen to us now on Spotify, or maybe you're listening or maybe you're listening to this on other places where you enjoy listening to podcasts, like on the Apple Store or the Google Play Store or anything that takes an RSS feed. So now on Spotify.
Finally.
Persona 3 Royal Spoiler Cast coming out at the beginning of May.
Persona 3 Royal?
Persona 3 Royal. I just made that up. Persona.
It's a special edition.
I hope y'all have been playing the right game.
Yep.
Because I sure haven't. Persona 3 Reload. Spoiler cast. Coming out very soon. And other exciting things that are still in the pipeline. But one of those exciting things just dropped today. Because now we're on Spotify.
That was one of the things.
That was one of the exciting things.
You weren't lying.
I know.
Like so many people who say exciting things coming soon. I know you're not, because we are doing. I'll vouch for Adam, guys. He's not just making things up to pretend that you like things are coming. Yeah, so we really do have more stuff coming through this proverbial pipeline.
It's just so early. We don't want to announce things before they're like locked in.
Yeah, we don't want to announce the Fantastic Four stuff now, so you get excited about it, and then you have to wait for the movie to come out, and you're like, well, why is this coming out now instead of when it comes out with the movie?
So that's it. Neil, John Michael, Renee, as always, thank you so much for joining me this evening and chatting about video games.
Yeah.
Everyone play Helldivers 2. Did anybody check out the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer that dropped?
I didn't even know they had a new one that dropped.
Yeah, it's a full trailer.
It's a full trailer.
Oh, there was only just pieces?
It was a teaser trailer.
Tease you.
Now it's the full trailer. And they want you to know they're not fucking around.
Oh.
This is going to be fucking R-rated.
Oh.
Motherfucker.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of F-bombs.
Oh, good for them.
The trailer.
Good for them. Love that for them.
It's a cute little trailer. It's a cute
time.
I
like the Deadpool movies.
Yeah, we all have a cute time watching, so I do recommend taking a peek. Look at huge jacked man. he gets an F-bomb in. It's very satisfying. He's very good at cussing. Yes, I'll give him that. Like, Hugh Jackman sounds awesome saying cuss words.
Everyone out there, thank you so much for listening and supporting us as we slowly approach episode 300. But until then, be good to each other out there, and we will see you next week. We'll be right back.